Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Hello, everybody. I'm so excited you're here this afternoon with me on American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We have two guests, and they're, of course, fabulous guests, because we always have fabulous guests. And my first one is Judy Gula, who is an artist, and she owns this amazing store called Artistic Artifacts. And she is creative with taking her fibers and her threads and her laces and doodads, which of course is an official word in our dictionary, isn't it? Doodads. And she puts all of those into quilts and art pieces. And it's just so great because Judy also takes people like me who work in a more traditional manner and helps us sort of branch out and play with all these fun things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So hi, Judy. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm awesome. I'm so excited to talk about all of this because, you know, every time that I see you at a show, your booth just like draws people in. Everybody wants to come and touch everything.
They do. They do. They kind of just kind of stand there, and I tell them it's all okay to touch. They can.
Yes.
And you just can see them as they walk, you know, their eyes go through the wall of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. So tell us what your store carries to sort of, you know, for a traditional quilter, we're not used to maybe finding lace and things like that. So, you know, tell us what you work with, what your medium is.
Well, pretty much anything that I can attach to a piece of fabric is fair game. So when you walk into my shop, there's a lot of paper pieces where, you know, I've ripped old books apart or taken old clocks apart and game pieces and things like that. And I commonly use those in my work. And I have lots of books, which I hope are going to be different from what you find in a quilt store. Paints, lots of paints and dyes.
Ooh.
Oil pastels, acrylics. Then I do have fabrics. The fabrics I have are maybe some vintage Japanese, some Aboriginal design fabrics. I've tried to look, again, to differentiate myself from a quilt store, so I'm looking for the odd pieces. And maybe I only have one piece of fabric that you love, and you're never going to see it again.
That's right.
So buy it now.
Buy it now, right, because they're one of a kind. Now, how did you get into working like this? Did you actually work? I mean, because you're trained as an artist. You went to college. You went to school, right?
Yeah.
Art student,
so to speak. Yes.
Yes.
I have a fashion design degree and a business major. Yeah.
Okay. So you come at it from a different avenue than maybe, you know, your average hobby person. You know, did you make any traditional quilts ever?
No, not ever. Well, actually, I did make one, but I had to go on to a quilt retreat and have everybody in the room tell me how to do it.
Oh.
So it was a group project.
It was a group project, a group quilt, because the work that you do is very freeing. It's mostly not with patterns. There might be some guidance, but it's more free flow creating.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
I have spent 15 years being part of a co-op where you were not allowed to use patterns, magazine ideas, nothing. It only had to be your idea, the original hand of the artist, and so that's how I work. But I have had training in it. It didn't just happen overnight. I've practiced.
Well, and if you went for fashion design, then you know about building patterns.
Oh, a little.
A little? You gave
that up a long time ago,
I bet. Now, Judy, you actually did finished goods, sold finished, you know, art for a long time. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. What type did you do?
Well, my fiber world started as a spinner and a weaver. So most of my first goods that I was selling were woven items. I did a lot of handmade rugs with hand-dyed pieces of fabric and strips and rags and things, scarves, that type of stuff, and spinning items. And had my son needed that quick, instant gratification type thing, so my work went smaller, and I have a line of fabric jewelry.
Oh.
So it's, you know, the basic of the roll and the painted and the stamped and incorporating found objects into that. And so I did that for many years. And then I went into the art quilting, and that's where I am now. It's been an evolution of a lot of different things.
So now how would you describe art quilting? Because that's a little different than what people are talking about when they talk about modern quilt look, which is it's very different from what you're talking about. The art quilt is more like mixed media.
Yes, but not all art quilts are mixed media, I think, in my opinion. I think mixed media is okay if you're using fiber and you're using all fiber, then you're not necessarily mixed media, whereas I might take fabric and paint it and bead it and stamp it, and I'm using paint as a media and I'm using fabric as a media.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So many options. It's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It makes your head spin.
It does. It does. I think that's why when, you know, I've watched people walk in your booth, and we did a whole show together recently when I was in another booth. And so it is fascinating because everybody wants to play with this stuff that you have. You know, they want to touch it. I mean, one of the fascinating things I have is you have over-dyed laces, you know.
Yes.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
I love vintage textiles. I always have since I was little. And I just think, for me, I'd much rather use them with a little bit of color. You see the stitches, you see the design and the hard work of the person. Doesn't matter if it's stained, doesn't matter if it's ripped. And it brings all this stuff out of the drawer and gives it a new life. It was recycling before I knew I was recycling. I just thought it was gorgeous textiles.
Now, we had a question for you about the, you know, the artifacts. What would you, when you're looking for vintage, we'll use the word vintage. When you're looking for vintage things, is there a point where you say, no, this is too precious, I don't want to alter it? You know, how do you make a decision like that?
I don't think I've had to make that decision yet.
Yeah.
I think everything is fair game. My most difficult thing is not necessarily whether I'm going to alter it or not. It's whether I'm going to put it in my store or my studio.
Oh.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. And so do you go out thrifting or junking or whatever term you want to use? Is that part of your job?
That has always been part of my job, and the part that I love, the searching for the most fabulous thing you've ever seen, and the thrill of the hunt. I go to a lot of thrift stores, flea markets, church sales, and it's just, some people try to go with me, but they can't usually keep up. I just dive, and it's fun, because there's treasures out there. There's absolutely fabulous orphaned treasures that we as creative people can use.
I just love it. Now you tell people where you're located.
I am in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm in an industrial part of Alexandria. Alexandria has a wonderful old town and that type of section, but I am using the infrastructure, so to speak, the phones, the buildings, the shipping, that from my family's business that's been around for 30 years. So I have a shop, I have a website, we teach classes, we have materials, but I'm opened a couple of days a week. I'm not really open 7 days a week.
Right. So they can just, you know, email you if they're coming into town from out of town and want to be sure they can.
Absolutely. My cell phone is on my website.
Yeah.
Contact me. So.
Yes, you've got to play in Judy's store. So let's talk about the sort of the over-dyeing. To me, when I look at the laces that you have that are over-dyed, that seems like one of the easiest things for a more traditional quilter to incorporate. Do you think so, or is there something easier still?
Well, I think crazy quilters can identify readily to the dyed linens and laces and trims.
Yeah.
I think there's much more hand-dyed yardage and fabrics out there, so maybe the traditional quilter is incorporating that a little bit. But I still think the trims are a little scary for them. I see many more people go to using pictures in their quilts.
Ah.
You know, they... I see that a little bit more than I see the hand-dyed parts.
Yeah, the hand dyes is what I'm attracted to, so I guess that's why I'm thinking, oh.
Oh, and I love it. It's very, and it works, and you can incorporate it with your commercial fabrics. It works well with that. And how I dye is I take trims and fabrics and laces, and everything goes in the same dye batch. So you almost can pull out a whole range of textures that will coordinate together.
Ooh, yeah, the little image I did with you, I put one of your photos of the hand dyes. You can tell I like that stuff. Now, you and I talked about, you know, giving permission. I mean, in quilters, you know, often are very structured, and they, you know, like to work with a pattern, and they like to know where things are going to go. And so sometimes, you know, everybody, we often use this in teaching to give, I just give people permission. Okay, you have permission. And they're like, woo, okay, I can do it. So what do you have a little philosophy on that about giving yourself permission to be the artist?
The first thing was my son gave me permission to be an artist when he was little. I used to go into the art room and do show and tell with the kids in elementary school. And that, I became more comfortable with being able to say that's what I am. But I also believe that, one, if you make art for yourself first, then you're going to feel comfortable with making something that you love. And there's no mistakes. There's never any mistakes.
Yeah, that's
not
what's really great.
You have to just go with it, and if you like it, you like it. I mean, I have people who ask me in classes going, is this the right way? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What do you think? Do you like it? They're like, I'm not part of the decision there.
Right. I think that's the hardest thing without a pattern, is for people to try to make a decision on where to go with a piece when they're looking at it.
Take a piece. You have a photograph. A photograph is 4x6, okay, maybe, or an 8x10. So you make a piece of fabric, and you do a log cabin border around it, or you do a star border around it, and you put a picture in it, or you take your favorite postcard and you staple holes on it, and staple it to the fabric and put a sleeve on it, hang it up. It's done. It's an art quilt.
There we go. Okay, Judy, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about challenges. How's that sound?
Okay.
Yeah, we like that. So we'll be back in a few seconds after this break. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter. Designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Thank you.
take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and we're here talking to Judy Gula of the Artistic Artifacts. So, Judy, you are like you love challenges, don't you?
Well, yes, I do. Maybe they don't appear as this is a challenge, but I like taking materials and somewhat unusual ones and putting them together.
Now let's talk about the kind of challenge where you go out and challenge your friends, like you have with a lot of people with your suit challenge.
Yes, the power suit challenge.
The power suit challenge. So tell me about this, because I have the package here.
Yes,
which I should be working on.
The power suit challenge actually was the brainchild of Cindy Souter of Moonlighting Quilts, who is a teacher at my shop and a good friend. Mm-hmm. And we had this enormous amount of fabrics and samples that were shirting and suiting that you could just pet for hours. It took us forever to put those packages together because we're like, oh, this is nice. Ooh,
yeah.
This is great. So we combined our efforts to put this together and offer it out to anyone and everyone that wanted to try it. And I had the advantage of traveling, so I took it to several shows. I took mm-hmm. it to Cincinnati and at
right.
that show. I took it to another one in Hampton, Virginia. And then out of my shop, many people came, and Cindy's classes and that. So we have people from actually all North America, Canada as well as the U.S.
And the packages have, when you're saying samples, people may not realize what that means. Like, think a rep would go into a store with a little suiting sampler thing. So the pieces are maybe postcard size, but
yes.
there's like a stack of them.
Yes.
Yeah, and
you
I think I got a tie also.
Yes, you got a tie and a few buttons and more fabric than you need.
Oh, yeah.
and they came with a little blurb about power suits. Now, we live outside Washington, D.C., and if there aren't power suits in D.C., I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
So that was how we kind of arrived at Taylor's samples with these packages, and that we were in D.C., and it was powerful. And so it could be, and I love the one about, is Wonder Woman, have her power suit on, and does it give you magical powers? And the idea was to inspire people to try something out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the experience level is beginning to people who have been doing art quilts for years and were just so excited that they took a leap. And I can remember in Cincinnati people coming back several times going, oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'll put it back, and then they come back and get it.
Yeah. I just love that, because it's sort of when you get a package like that, well, then you have some limits to work with.
The limit is the size of 18 by 18. Isn't it? It's the theme is there. You can use as much as you want or as little as you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You
I
can
think it's great.
Use it on the back.
Yeah. Yeah, put more on the back. Layer it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit about the vintage photos. When you were mentioning that earlier,
mm-hmm.
because it is something that a lot of people already do photo transfers and can incorporate things. What have you found over time about how to handle vintage photos? Do you have some tips?
Well, my first instruction was from my mother, which said that I had to label the box with all my vintage photos as not family. But we've adopted them now.
Right.
I think you need to be careful. I would not put, I actually do have a box. Sometimes I put them in bags, but I leave them open. I try to scan everything so I at least have a 300 DPI scan. And I haven't quite got the nerve to use the originals, but mm-hmm. I know many mixed media artists do use, like, cabinet cards and originals. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm like, okay, you're braver than I am. Go for it.
And are you putting them onto fabric, which is the way a lot of people handle, like, family photos? You know,
yeah.
They'll have them scanned on the fabric and put them into their quilt blocks and stuff. Or are you actually putting the paper on?
For the most part, my favorite is using transfer artist paper, which is a product that's called TAP, developed by Leslie Riley, mm-hmm. and using it on Luchador. That's my mm-hmm. new love because it's stiff, the picture stands out, it mm-hmm. has kind of a vintagey look to it because you're mm-hmm. transferring. And then the other way I use it is I directly print it onto EQ Printables Cotton Lawn.
Okay.
So yeah, the finer the weave of the fabric, the better clarity you're going to get on the picture.
Good tips. Now, I had another question out there left on my blog. Someone was curious whether you have like an adhesive that you found works for your the textiles and different things that you like to work with. Is there one that's better, or are you just experimenting with all kinds?
Depends. One of the things that I have found is that actually the fabric glues are a little more soft or elastomer than, say, Elmer's glue. Mm-hmm. So I won't use Elmer's glue anymore, but mm-hmm. I use, you know, like Aileen's fabric glue. Mm-hmm. When I make fabric paper, I do that because it just kind of has a little more give. If somebody's nervous about actually gluing onto their quilt, which I was very early on, I would take mm-hmm. my domino and glue it to a piece of ultra suede and then stitch the ultra suede onto my quilt.
That's
so
a
that
good
kind
point.
Of, yeah, I kept the glue one step away.
Yeah.
Now I just glue on.
Yeah, you got over that.
Yeah, I'm over that. Glue is okay. And as a fiber person, you never thought glue was okay. Glue, oh, yuck.
Right. I mean, appliqueers tend to use the washouts, but it's a very thin bit. It's not, it's just to sort of tack it just so you can, you know, applique it down. It's not really there to adhere it totally. So that's sort of a newish thing for many quilters to work
right.
with, is gluing whole bits of stuff. So you also collect unusual, you have an unusual collection. You collect a lot of things, I know, but we talked about your silk papers.
Yes. Those are kind of, you know, you as a quilter has a stash of fabrics, mm-hmm. and maybe you arrange them by color or type or batiks or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I have a stash that now includes fabrics that are painted with acrylic paints. Mm-hmm. Silk paper is this fabulous silk hand-dyed hankies and rovings and things that you've created a sheet of paper out of. So I have a draw of those. I have a draw of fabric paper. So, and I have a drawer of Angelina that I've put together. So there's the stash. My stash has changed a little bit. It's not just fabric.
Neat. It's all that thrifting, too, so you can find good stuff. So you have in your store, actually, you have a monthly group that comes in and works together.
Yes, it's called Jams, and it's open to anyone who would like to come. And it's we named it Judy's Altered Minds. I was like, okay, sure, my mind's altered. And it's we come and we kind of self-teach. So somebody has a show and tell, and someone else goes in the group and says, oh, show us how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fabric people and it's paper people. And we teach each other. Like one time we worked with inks and stencils, and you could do it on fabric or you could do it on paper. And mm-hmm. one day we made roses. So it just really depends on what the group wants to learn.
I think that's something that I need to, you know, people may not realize, but Judy and I are not that far apart from each other. I haven't been down to her store yet, but I think that's something that my girlfriends and I should take a trip down to visit you.
It's fun. To me, it's building a community. Artistic Artifacts is where artists gather, and it's a business, but it also, I want it to be a community that people feel comfortable to participate in and gather, and that's kind of one of my business goals.
And you also go out on the road, and you travel to a few shows a year.
Yeah, it's been about 6-7 shows.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to dial that back a little bit.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. Yeah, a lot of work to go. What, do you have any shows this year still coming up that you're traveling to?
I do. I will be in Connecticut at a mixed media retreat, and it's called Art Is You, and then I will be at Houston Quilt Festival in November.
Oh, okay. That's a biggie.
Yes, that is a big one.
Yeah, good, good. I saw you in Cincinnati. That's when I grabbed my kit.
Yes.
So,
and that was the first time we'd been in Cincinnati. I was really happy we were there. That was great.
Yeah, that was a really good show. It was their first year there since they had moved, but from another city. So it was
right.
It was a really good show. What do you? We have about a minute. What do you do to jumpstart when you need a jumpstart for designing something? You get this pile.
I do. I have a tray. I might have a picture. I might have a piece of linen. I might have something that kind of percolates over time. So I go through and I pet my stash and wait for something to kind of give me an idea. That's one of the classes I'm teaching at Textile Evolution in Colorado. I don't travel and teach, but this year I am doing that, and that's what we're teaching you about making stuff, the silk paper, and then actually the next day creating based on feeling it, not with a pencil and paper and a drafting table, but by looking at it and seeing how it feels and assembling a collage. And that's a two-day class that I'm teaching in Colorado.
Ooh. And when you create this little thing on the table, it just sits there while you sort of absorb it.
It can stay for a couple of days. I throw things at the, maybe I take a pearl necklace or I take another picture, or so I can have several trays going at the same time, and I don't try to do it all in one day. It does have to grow on me. I have to come back and do I like this? Do I not like this? What do I want to add? And, it can take a couple days to a week to, I've had some trays that have been there for a little while.
Yeah, we use the design walls for that.
Yeah,
Stick it up on the wall. Well, Judy, this has been so awesome. I want to tell people your website. I want to spell it out. It's www.artisticartifacts, artifacts.com. And
correct.
There's a link on my site and a link on allpeoplequilt.com on the page today for the show. So, this has been wonderful. I thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I've enjoyed it.
And also Judy blogs. So from her website, you can click over and she's got some gorgeous fabric bracelets on there today. So
yes.
Cool. So this was Judy Gula of Artistic Artifacts. Be sure to check out her stuff, and I'll see you around, Judy, maybe sooner than later.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Come back after this little break for American Patchwork
Choose
and Quilting, and we're going to talk machine quilting with Kim Bruner.
American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This is Pat Sloan. We're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Now, let's get excited because everybody likes to talk machine quilting. I really think it's one of the biggest topics out there for quilters is how do you put the layers together? You know, you did your wonderful top. Now you need that extra oomph to, you know, it just makes the quilt, whatever you do to put the three layers together. So we are very excited here at American Patchwork and Quilting to have Kim Bruner on. She is an expert quilter. She's won awards for her quilting, but she's also won for the last 2 years the Machine Quilting Teacher of the Year Award, which I just think is amazing. Hi, Kim. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hey, Pat, how are you doing today?
I am good. We have not met in person, and I just can't wait till we're at an event, you know, the same event, so I get to meet you because I hear fabulous, fabulous things about your work.
Thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say.
Now, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got started with quilting, because it is your life now, but, you know, how did you first quilt?
Well, my grandma was a quilter, and I sort of learned by osmosis. Oh. She had learned from her mother, my great-grandma, mm-hmm. who was known for her skills as a seamstress, mm-hmm. and grandma learned how to sew via piecing 9-patch blocks. And the quilting bug really hit her hard. Mm-hmm. She stayed a quilter her whole life. And when she was a young wife, she corrupted all 5 of her sisters-in-law and turned them into quilters, too. So she was a good quilter.
Yes.
And it was a source of pride for her that the women in our family are quilters. So when she grew older and Alzheimer's disease began to kind of take her away, mm-hmm. I became a quilter so that there would be someone in our family to bring that quilting heritage into the future. And I'm very happy to report that 2 of my cousin's daughters are showing every sign of having been bit hard by the quilting bug. So it looks like we're just going to keep trucking right along.
Well, that's great. You know, because I don't have any quilters in my family. So, you know, to hear about generation after generation, the love of it just gives me goosebumps.
It is pretty cool. It's a cool thing to sit at my machine and think, you know what, my grandma did this and her mother mm-hmm. before her and her mother before her. So it is cool.
Now, at some point, Kim, you know, when you're making quilts for yourself and infecting all of your family with the bug, you know, you decided, you know, to make this your business. How did that happen for you?
Well, I've had cancer a couple times, and the first time I had it, I was pretty sick for a while, and I started thinking about, you know, if I make it through this, what am I going to do with my life that's different? Because I really wanted to, live a happy life once I got well, and I realized that in order for me to do that, I needed to be doing something that was creativity oriented. Mm-hmm. And naturally my thoughts turned immediately to quilting mm-hmm. and I knew I wasn't going to make a whole lot of money out of piecing and started mm-hmm. thinking about how cool it was watching grandma quilt and the huge change in appearance of a quilt that quilting will give it. And I thought, mm-hmm. you know, that's really what I want to pursue and got a long arm machine and never looked back.
I like that part. You never looked back.
Never looked back. Once I got it, it was like, oh, yeah, here's what I wanted.
Yeah. Now, you know, some people, you know, a lot of people don't own a long arm and they quilt on their domestic machine. And I know that you and I talked and you don't actually quilt on a domestic machine. But a lot of what we can talk about is used both places. You know, Yeah, so there's, you know, there are things you specifically do for one type of machine or the other, but there's a zillion other things that are very common across, it's just how machine quilting works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're quilting on a small machine or a big machine. If your needle goes up and down and up and down and you put thread mm-hmm. in the needle, you're quilting. So it doesn't matter what size the machine is that you're using. The end result is always the same. And like, you're right, so many things are exactly the same in all aspects of machine quilting.
Yeah, and I like that. And I like being able to share that with people because sometimes they don't, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, I can't do a feather on my domestic machine. Well, yeah, you can. You know,
yeah, you sure can.
Yeah. So let's talk. We sort of broke this down because you are going to come back again later this year. And we want to sort of break it into topics because you are an enormous wealth of information. And, you know, you give lectures and teach all the time. So, you know, I know that you have all this great stuff we want to hear. But let's talk about batting first, because that's the first thing. A lot of quilters I know, it's like, well, it's you just buy whatever's on sale or whatever your girlfriend's buying or the store carries. But there's more, way more to batting. You want to just sort of, let's see, what would be the best way to tell us about batting? You want to talk about thicknesses or the content, what they're Well, we just lost Kim for a second here, and we're going to get her back. I heard that pause. So let me just go ahead until Kim comes on, because batting comes in many, it's like comes in many weights. It comes in thicknesses. It comes in content. And, you know, that is what you want to read when you go to the packages. I think we're getting Kim back on here now. So once she comes on, but the content, you go and look for your packages. You're going to have 100% cotton. You're going to have blends. You're going to have batting that is maybe 100% wool. There's silks now that are out on the market. And all of these have different properties. And some of them not only have different properties, but they have different thicknesses. So that you can get a cotton batting, 100% cotton, that is thicker or very, very thin. And when you're quilting, those thicks and thins of the batting make a huge difference to what your final quilt is going to look like. I'll give you an example. Mountain Mist makes a very a batting, I think it's called classic batting, and it's basically made like the old-time battings that your grandmothers used to have, or great-grandmothers, or great-great-greats, and the old quilts. So that batting, actually, when you read the package and it tells you about the quilting on it, you have to quilt it very closely because of the way the fibers are formed for the batting. You can't quilt big areas open in that type of batting. And so it tells you that. Quilt 1 to 2 inches apart. And if you don't, what would happen with a lot of washing or whatever, it would start to break up your batting in between the quilting. Now, modern technology is absolutely amazing, and we have large numbers of battings now that don't need to be quilted closely anymore. Even 100% cotton battings don't have to be quilted together because of the technology. So the technology has put something out there that gives you longer spaces. You might be able to go 10 inches. You know, that's how you can do very large meandering. Okay, just a little FYI, we're having trouble getting Kim back on the line because we don't know why, but we're still working on her. So we might do a call in. And if you're listening live and you have a question, let me get the phone number of call in. And so I'll take a question or two. Now, I know Kim has some really great tips on the batting where, wait a second. Now, if you want to call in and ask me a question, 877-864-4865. 877-864-4865. So we can chat. I can answer a question about machine quilting. That would be really good. So I see I have, who do we have? Looks like we might have Kim back or else somebody calling in. Isn't it lovely to have live radio? So I know one person had left a message earlier about, what was the different. Oh, we have Kim back. So here we go.
Hey, Pat, hi. I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yay. Yes, I can. Yippee.
Yay. Sorry. So,
that's okay. I went on a little bit about batting and how there's different weights and different makeups of batting. But why don't you tell me what are some of the most important things to know about batting?
Well, one of the things that you want to think about is how is that batting going to interact with your finished quilt? For example, let's say that you've got a wall hanging or a series of wall hangings that you want to rotate out through your house throughout the year. And in between the times that they are being displayed, you're going to fold them up and put them away. Mm. When you take that bat or that wall hanging out and unfold it and put it on your wall, you don't want to see crease lines. You want to see a nice flat quilt. So you want to think about, okay, what kind of batting are you going to use that is going to act the way I want it to act in the quilt that I'm putting it in. So in that case, you're going to want to use a wool batting because it's not going to hold its creases. Those creases will fall out. Your quilt will look on the wall the way that you want it.
Neat.
Another example would be, let's say that you've pieced a quilt out of a fabric that you really love. You don't want to cover up that fabric with a lot of heavy quilting because the fabric is pretty. You don't want to cover it up with thread. You need to do your homework and find a batting that will react well to loose quilting because, as we know, some battings require that you have very closely spaced quilting lines. Otherwise, it will migrate and shift. So the last thing that you want is to choose one of those battings. You want to do your homework and find a batting that will allow you to quilt fairly far apart so that you can have a successful finish to your quilt that you've worked so hard to piece. So
and
really,
you
it's all
actually,
a matter.
Kim, do you actually teach classes on that when you're out at events?
No, I don't. No, it's one of the things that I would cover in a class, but I wouldn't necessarily teach a whole class on batting, no.
Yeah. That would be... Now, you talked a bit about you had a little time when you will layer battings.
Yes, one of my favorite tricks is layering batting to either deal with fullness in blocks or borders or to give the look of a trepantoed quilt without having to do the work necessary to achieve a trepantoed look. The way that I use it for fullness is, let's say you've got a sampler quilt and one of your blocks, you had a little bit of trouble with that technique and that block just did not turn out as well as the rest of the blocks. You know what I mean? One of them kind of looks like a mushroom on that quilt. It poofed right up. You can get a nice, lofty polyester batting. The brand that I prefer is Hobbs, and the type is called Polydown. It's kind of like quilting cobwebs, and I don't work for Hobbs. I don't sell them. I just think that it's a cool bat. It's got a nice loft, but it quilts up and then just kind of disappears and melts into your quilt. You can cut a square out of that batting and just insert it right underneath that troublesome block, quilt over it, and that lofty batting will poof up just enough to eat up the fullness so that you don't end up with great big bunches of fabric just laying there on your quilt top.
That probably helps where people sometimes get like a pleat or something when they're trying to deal with like a ridge.
Yep, and this will eliminate, well, I shouldn't say eliminate, it will greatly reduce the chances that you are going to get a pleat or a pucker or a tuck, because again, it just poofs up, fills in that fullness. And you can cut it apart and use it here and there and kind of use it to spot control fullness, or you can layer it under the entire quilt, and that will both control fullness and it will also give you the look of a trepanto quilt if you were to stitch motifs and then very tightly background fill around it. Again, it will just pop right up. Your motif will be full. It will look beautiful and trepantoed without you having to do the work of cutting away.
Ooh, awesome. Okay, Kim, you know, we're going to have to take a little break here. And when we come back from the break, let's talk about some thread and stuff. How's that sound?
Perfect. Sounds great.
Okay. We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
We're back talking to Kim Bruner, who is like a master quilter. She knows everything there is to know. And Kim, first, before we talk about thread, what a lot of people are curious about this, the new silk bats that are out there and some of the ones that aren't there some now made with like bottle caps and that kind of thing?
You know, those are really interesting to hear about, aren't they? I personally love the silk bat because it's so soft and so drapeable, and it's a natural fiber, and I like that. I like the idea of combining a natural fiber batting with my cotton quilt. I'm not so sure about the other ones. I have not had enough long-term experience with using them to be able to say, yes, I like them, or no, I don't like them. So I really don't have, unfortunately, much of an opinion to offer on those other than to say the silk is fantastic. I love it.
Oh, I'm going to have to try the silk because I haven't done that yet. You know, are you doing that for quilts that you're going to put on the bed? You're going to lap quilts, or is it because since it's drapeable, would they hang on the wall as well?
I think that because of the softness of the silk, I prefer it for a situation in which I'm going to want it to drape rather than hang flat. So that would mean I would put it on a bed quilt or a lap quilt, maybe that I'm just going to drape across my couch in my living room. That's, to me, that's probably the best use for my quilts anyway.
Yeah, cool. So when I first started hanging out with long arm quilters, that's when I found out that, you know, they're pretty much thread junkies, you know?
Oh, yeah, we sure are.
I had no idea. You know, the world of thread just exploded for me when I started hanging out because, you know, I use thread and I machine quilted my own quilts, but I hadn't really explored what thread does for the look of the quilt. And, you know, I just think that's, it's so fascinating and it's a whole world for people to explore. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is the first thing that you feel people need to know who don't know much about threads should learn?
Well, I agree with you. It's like thread is like candy for quilters. I am just awful. When I go to quilt shows, I make a beeline for the thread booth, and I just start putting the cones in the basket. And boy, does it add up. And I don't care because it's so pretty. The colors are so pretty. I like the colorful ones. I like the sparkly ones and the shiny ones. But I think that it's really important that when it comes to thread choice for your quilt, you need to learn to look past how pretty it is on the cone. And just like batting, you need to think about how is this going to work in my finished quilt? And is it going to hold up to the use that I want to put this quilt through? Let me give you a couple of examples.
Yes, please.
If you have a quilt, let's say you've got an Irish chain, and you are going to run those long diagonal quilting lines. Well, as we all know, those diagonal lines are going to go across the bias of your quilt, and every quilter knows that bias stretches. Well, if you put a fragile specialty thread in a long, long line across the bias of your quilt, every time you sit on that quilt, that thread's going to go pop, pop, pop all the way along that diagonal line because it doesn't have the strength to stand up to that bias stretch. So in that case, you need to look past how pretty that shiny thread is, and you need to think about, okay, I need a strong thread, maybe a polyester or a cotton-wrapped polycore thread that is going to stretch and snap back rather than stretch the snap. You need to choose something that will work rather than something that's just really pretty. Another thing that you need to think about is, let's say you've pieced a red and white quilt, and it's beautiful and it's a masterpiece and you love it and you want to quilt it in red thread that matches that red fabric. You need to make sure, if you're going to wash this quilt, you need to make sure that that thread is going to be color fast so that you don't end up with a red and pink quilt.
Oh, yeah, that's not much fun.
Yep, and a lot of people don't think that far ahead, and you really have to if you want to have a long-term successful finish to your quilt.
In that instance, would you actually put the whole spool in water or just take some strands off? How would you test that?
I would pull out a nice long chunk, and I would get it wet in nice warm water, the same type of conditions in which I would wash that quilt. So if I'm going to wash it in cold, I'd put it in cold water. If I'm going to wash it in warm, it'd go in warm. And then I would lay it out on a clean white towel, and I would look to see what happens. Does the towel turn pink? Well, then the thread's not color fast. If the towel stays white, then I've got nothing to worry about. So you just need to do a little bit of homework and a little bit of experimentation and make sure that the thread is going to act the way that you will want it to act on your quilt so that you don't end up with an unpleasant surprise somewhere down the road.
Yeah, very good. Did you have a third one, or did I?
I do. Another thing that you want to think about is thread play is really important right now. People are really getting into thread play. They want to quilt flowers on their quilt and really heavy thread work in the border. You need to, before you grab a thread, before you just start grabbing threads wildly off of your rack, you need to do a little bit of looking at how does that thread behave when it's heavily quilted. Is it going to stay soft and supple? Is it going to get really, really stiff? If it's going to be stiff, are you going to be happy with that? I mean, that might be great if it's a wall hanging, but what if you want that quilt to drape beautifully off the side of the bed, and now you've got a great big stiff chunk? You're not going to be happy with that. And same thing with heavy background fillers. If you are trying to achieve some faux trapunto on your quilt and you have to do some heavy background fill, you need to choose a nice, thin, soft thread that will stay supple and drapeable when you're done, rather than ending up so stiff that your quilt could be stood in the corner like a suit of armor when it's all done.
I know. I've had some pieces I've used as demo pieces, and I like to quilt heavy, but on those I quilt very, very heavy. And it is interesting to see the effect of a lot of thread work at the end of the day in one spot.
Yes. And, you know, it can be really beautiful. I know that there are some quilt artists out there who do just extraordinary thread play work. But I also know that those artists are really, really careful in their thread choices because they want that finished piece. If you're going to do all that work, you want your finished piece to be what you envision it to be when you're all done, rather than have it all be finished and go, okay, well, that's really not what I had in mind at all.
Right. Yeah, that wouldn't make us happy after all that work.
Absolutely. And you also need to give a little bit of thought of what you're going to put in that bobbin. You can't just, especially if you're using a specialty thread in top, you can't just throw whatever you want in the bobbin because your bobbin thread has to play nicely with your top thread. If you want to use a slippery thread up top, you're going to need to have something a little bit rougher in your bottom so that you can just So that that bottom thread will come up and grab that top thread, hold it securely in your stops and starts, so that, again, you are happy with the long-term finished effect and you don't have stops and starts that become unstopped and unstarts and start to unfurl all over your quilt. So you really do need to give it all a lot of thought before you just start grabbing thread off the shelf.
Now, let's talk about color thread a bit on, you know, a lot of quilters who quilt for themselves or for family, they're using a lot of fabric with a lot of pattern. You know, they're not using maybe a lot of solids to show off the quilting. But, you know, how would you pick thread colors for a nice floral border, which has multiple colors in it?
Well, there are two ways to go, and it depends on how confident you are in your ability to stitch out this design really well. If you want your design to show, then you're going to want to choose a really bright, strong color that's going to show up against all that stuff that's going on in the fabric. But you need to keep in mind, you know, if you grab a bright red thread to put on that fabric and it's really going to show, any errors you make are really going to show.
Right.
So you need to be really confident in your ability to stitch out that design accurately and well before you start laying down a whole bunch of brightly colored thread. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel so confident in your ability, then you want to choose a blender thread, and you want to stitch bold, graphic lines that are strong enough to kind of hold their ground against that busy fabric that they're on top of. That's a little bit easier way out while still giving you some interesting texture, but not providing an opportunity to show each and every mistake that you ever make on that quilt.
Yeah, that's always it. Blending is good. I think a lot of people start with backgrounds that are floral so that they can, you know, gain confidence in their quilting when they're learning. Now, what about variegated threads? How do you handle them personally, or how do you teach people to think about variegated threads?
The thing that you want to remember when you are choosing a variegated thread is it needs to show on every fabric that you put it on. Otherwise, it's going to look like you've got quilting here and no quilting there, and quilting here and no quilting there. So if you're going to choose maybe a gold and orange and brown variegated thread, you need to maybe put it on a green fabric where all of those colors are going to show equally on the fabric and not make you look like you forgot to quilt this block and you forgot to quilt that block.
That's excellent, Kim. You know, I had never thought of it that way, but that's a very good point, because it would
Those threads are so pretty, and so many people use them, but if they're not used well, it's kind of like, ooh, there's a disaster.
Yeah, the first time I sort of discovered that there'd be issues with it that you had to think about was when I outlined my applique. I outlined it, and it had that same effect because one of the shades matched my background. And so it would look like there was outline and then no outline.
You just forgot to outline this part, and you didn't.
Right.
You just can't see the thread.
So let's talk about your own personal work right now. You know, do you piece your own tops and then quilt them? You know, what is your own personal style?
I love piecing because I love the precision of it. I like being able to cut apart perfectly good fabric and put it all back together again. Unfortunately, I don't have all the time for quilting that I wish I did. But I do love to piece, and I love to sit and look at my finished quilts or finished pieced quilts and think, okay, how am I going to quilt this? Right now I'm working on a drunkard's path that is batiks, and I'm just loving every single minute of it, playing with those gorgeous, yummy fabrics. And I just got a whole basket full of thread colors from YLI today in the mail, as a matter of fact. And I've got them laid out all over the table thinking, oh, I'll put this here and I'll put that there. And I'm just having a great time. It looks like there was an explosion at the crayon factory in my workroom right now. There's color everywhere. I love it.
I know. That's the best part about being a quilter, I think, is the color. Just amazing. Mm-hmm. So tell me what's coming up new. We have about a minute. You have a new DVD, right?
I do. I have one coming out hopefully this fall. I'd love to have it ready for Houston. It's on borders because so many beginner quilters struggle with borders. What do I put in a border? What do I put in the sashing strip? So I came up with 20-some-odd ideas of here's what to do in a border, here's how to coordinate it with your sashing, here's how to tie the whole thing together, and most of all, here's how to put some really simple borders that look really cool on finished quilts. Because I believe that beginners have the ability to create much cooler quilts than they think that they can create, and I'd like to show them how. So that's what the new DVD is about.
Fabulous. So, Kim, I'm going to give them your website, kimmyquilt.com, KIMMYquilt.com, where you have all of your goodies and a few tutorials in your gallery, ones on how to use, like, one of your templates. So thank you, Kim, for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Pat. I look forward to talking to you again and maybe seeing you at a show.
Okay, will do. Thanks, everybody. This has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to